Good. All right. Sorry. All right, gang. So thank you. I just need to get the recording going. All right. So happy New Year, everybody. I want to welcome everybody that called in, especially I know we've got some people that are waking up at godly hours because I can see from the call list of who's on the call. We have some people out of the country. So I want to thank you for calling in. I also know we have some new power agents on the call this month. And let me just remind you, the purpose of the call is I want to go over the magazine that's on the website for, and for those of you new power agents, when you go to the website, which is thepowerprogram.com, when you go to the site there, you have to log in. After you log in, you go to the little word up top that says classroom. And when you go to classroom, I think it's even on the homepage too, you will see the magazine for the month. And then you'll be able to follow along. Now, if you don't have the magazine in front of you because you're not in front of a computer, just make some notes if you can, or mental notes of what I'm sharing with you, and you can go back and go over it later. So I'm going to highlight some of the pages that we have. And, yeah, it's actually on the home page now that I see it. So when you click on that, you'll see the January Power Agent magazine. That's what I'm going to go over with you now. Let's see what else we're going to do. Also, I do want to open it up to questions. You know, part of the reason for this call is for you to get coaching on anything specific that you need help with. So if you have a question that you need help with in your business, then, you know, make sure you ask me when I open up the call to that later on. And lastly is I want to give you some ideas of what you should be doing the next 30 days between our next conference call. Now, for those of you in the tri-state area like New Jersey or Long Island and Queens and all that good stuff, I just want to 30 seconds just tell you I'm going to be kicking off our program the end of this month. It just it's about a week and a couple of days we start the run. So the last week in January, I'm going to be running all over some cities in New Jersey and Long Island. You should go to and by the way, I see that we have some Pennsylvania people on the call, and I'll be coming to Chicago and Philly area in February, but in January, we are go to this website. If you'll jot it down, if you don't already know it, it's called kickoffseminar.com, www.kickoffseminar.com. You'll get all the information about the Jersey and New York events. All right, now, like I said, I'm coming to Illinois and Philly the following month. All right, gang, so let's go through this now. For those of you that don't have the magazine, as I said, it could, you know, just don't get frustrated. Just jot it down. You'll go to the website. You'll log in with your username and password. Those of you that lost your username and password, just make sure that you get to me or call my office after the call, and they'll give you your username and password. Okay, that's it. Let's get this party started. Before I get into the magazine, I do want to tell you something. I believe that this is true. In almost all parts of the country, there are some exceptions, but let me tell you something. I hope you are very excited about 2012, and here's why. Because I believe 2012 is going to be a breakthrough year. I believe 2012 is going to be an abundant year. Now, I'm not saying that because, you know, I'm trying to be motivational or inspirational in any way. From what I've already seen and talking to our students and talking to other agents, I'm already seeing agents start to put deals together, and we're not even finished 2 weeks into the new year. Now, there's a lot of reasons why this is. You know, interest rates are the lowest they've been. This is an election year, so we have a lot of sense of hope, and there's maybe distraction from some of the negative stuff. Or, you know, it doesn't matter. We can probably, you know, find a bunch of reasons to justify why it is, but the bottom line is the feeling on the streets and the results we're already starting to see is that this is going to be an abundant year for us compared to the years that we've seen previous. But I do have a caveat or a warning to that. I believe that that good feeling and that production and what's possible in real estate may not be for the whole year in 2012. So even though I say that 2012 is going to be a breakthrough year, I mean, I know for a fact that in the first half of 2012, maybe definitely the first quarter, there's going to be a lot of listings and a lot of sales. So it's going to be very abundant. The second half of the year, I'm not sure about, because if I knew, you know, if I could be that sure, then I'd probably be making a lot more money than I do to be able to look into the future like that. So let's just pretend, for example, that the first half of this year, or even better yet, the first quarter, is going to be a financially abundant year. What do you think you should be doing the first quarter? Obviously, you should be working harder than you ever have. You know, I've talked about my seminars that, you know, during the months of October, November, I have this little squirrel that seems to jump from my roof to a tree, and he runs along the fence, and then I see him like a couple of minutes later, he's back on the fence, back on the tree, jumps onto the roof, and he's, you know, doing what squirrels do before the winter, and that's he's gathering up all of his squirrels. All of his nuts and food to get ready for the winter. I want you to start to think that way, that in 2012, if the second half is maybe not as good as the first half, what you need to do in this first half, especially the first quarter, is kick it up a notch and work your tushy off as much as possible. And I want to give you a plan on how to do that towards the end of the call. Now, let's go to the magazine, and let me go through some of the really, really awesome, cool pieces that I've put together for you. If you jump to after the interview in the magazine, if you go to page 23, and once again, those of you who don't have the magazine, don't get frustrated. Just make mental notes about what we're talking about. On 23, you're going to see that it's called My Life Business Plan. And what I recommend you do is what I put together here for you, and it's something that we've been giving out for years, is a really in-depth business plan that you can sit down and fill out yourself. Now, obviously, what would have been best for everybody on the call if you had worked on this business plan in November or December. So 2 weeks into the new year, if you haven't done it, should you do it? Absolutely, because there's still, you know, it's better to do it than not do it at all. And on this business plan, the first page, just to give you a couple examples of what the questions are that it asks you, is first it goes through an exercise of looking at your life purpose. You know, list the two qualities that are unique to you. List one or two ways you enjoy expressing those qualities and interacting with others. Number three, assuming the world is perfect right now, what does the world look like? That's a great question to get you thinking. So page 24 is about just your whole what's important in your life, okay? By the way, when you fill this, if you decide to fill out your life business plan that I gave you, what I recommend you do is actually give it to somebody else to hold you accountable and hang on a second, gang. Sorry, I just got distracted here. I'm putting my mute on. Okay, what I recommend that you do is you actually take this business plan and tell somebody you promise to fill out, give it to them, because chances are you won't do it otherwise, okay? So page 25 is you're finding your purpose in real estate. Why did you get into real estate? Who does my work serve in my personal life? What are my best talents in real estate? I'll tell you why I think this is important, especially page 25, is because when you're working for money or you're working to pay your bills, you're coming from a place of survival. And that's not a good place to come from. You shouldn't be designing a lot. You know, coming from a place of survival and paying your bills is not a life worth living, yeah? So if you want a life worth living, something that turns you on, that you're passionate about, you want to have that backdrop. What are you really working for in real estate? What do you want to accomplish in 2012 that speaks to your heart? On page 26, it talks about, you know, finding your purpose in your committed relationship. You know, when you first met your partner, what activities were you both passionate about? What goals do you have for the future that you can both share? So I put page 26 together for you because I do believe that if you're in a committed relationship, it definitely enhances your life. You're not just working for you. You are working for that relationship. So that's page 26. 27 is defining your purpose, putting it all together. Page 28 and 29 goes through, and this is a real important part that I want you to pay attention to when you look at this and you take the time to fill it out, is a three-month commitment. Most of us, one of the tips I want to give you for this year to be abundant for you is to make sure that you set, and I did this last year, gang. I did this in 2011, and it really helped me in my business that I set quarterly goals, things that were really important to me. They weren't a to-do list. They were like milestones. These were things that, you know, just eat that elephant one bite at a time. Sometimes you can get overwhelmed in your life that you have all these things to do and work on. You don't know where to start. It kind of paralyzes you. So the best thing to do is don't, you know, it's great to have a year goal or have something you're passionate about, but if it seems too big, too overwhelming, or too far away, definitely just looking at, let's just look at what I'm going to do the next 3 months. I'm going to tell you something that applies to this, that, you know, when I first started training to run the New York City Marathon, which was a big accomplishment for me, and for those you don't know, that's 26.2 miles, so it's long a marathon, right? So, and I'm overweight, and I'm not a runner. My body's not designed that way. So it was very, very difficult for me to go through the training. And what I did was to trick myself to go the distance. I figured this little trick out, and that was I didn't look at when I would look at I had to run, let's say, 5 miles, 10 miles, or 15 miles. I would look where I was starting, where I had to end up the finish line, and when I looked at that, it was way too big for me. It was like too overwhelming. Like I didn't even think I could do it. Yeah, that I could never make it from this point to that point. So what I did is I didn't worry about the finish line. I just focus on the, like, as I was jogging, I would look in the street, for example, and I would say, you know what, just run to that crack. And then when I passed that crack, I'd say, let me run to that telephone pole. And then after that, I'd say, let me just run to that tree. So what I did is I took that whole, you know, 5 miles or 10 miles or 20, whatever I had to run in the training, and I broke it up into little cracks, take it one crack at a time. And that's the concept here with you looking at the next 90 days, what do you need to do? So page 28, 29 gives you that 90 days in your financial, your business goals, your family time, personal, making a difference, health, relationship. By the way, don't feel like you have to, if you look at these, don't feel like you have to fill them all in. You may want to combine a couple. The thing about business planning or working on any plan is there's a certain amount of I don't want to, I don't have the time, or whatever. You do need to commit to it. You need to push past that. And then once you do it, if you start to get overwhelmed with all the questions and all the stuff, well, then just kind of tweak it a little bit. Don't get too stressed about it, okay? It should be an empowering experience, not a stressful experience. I gave you some additional three-month commitment sheets on page 30 and 31, and then 32 and 33. Now, so that's the life business plan. Page 34, by the way, I'm real excited about some of the stuff I gave you this month. So, you know, those of you that are on the call, please, 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 when you get off this call, take the time to go to the powerprogram.com website, sign in with your username and password, and just, if nothing else, print out starting from page 34. You need to see some of the things that I put together for you. For example, on page 34, there's a flyer as an example that one of these agents used. And just it says, attention realtors, please take one of these for your assistance in writing a contract. And then what it does is it lists. So you have a listing, right? You have this flyer that says, all right, here's the homeowner's name, the address, here's the legal lot description, here's the inclusions, the exclusions, what's expected as far as a deposit, the preferred closing date, da, da, da. Now, so a lot of this stuff is already in the MLS information. But what's really great about this is a couple of things. First of all, if there's any incorrections in the MLS, and I know some of you have put deals together where, you know, the MLS had wrong information and you didn't find out until after you're in contract or going into contract. So number one is that this kind of helps checks and balances to make sure that the MLS stuff is correct. Number two is it's a great flyer as a post-selling flyer, meaning this is something that the buyers will take with them also. And it just, when you make things easy, which that's the third thing that I love about this, when you're a listing agent, the person you're supposed to be marketing your listings to is really not the buyer, but it's your fellow realtor. If you take care of your client, which is your colleagues, when you're the listing agent, that's who you are marketing to. If you take care of them, and make things easier for them, they're going to be more apt to want to sell that listing or sell any of your listings. So if you, this little sheet here just makes it easier for a realtor to fill out the contract, and that's a good thing for you. Page 35, now this is, listen, I learned this, I think, from Tom Hopkins. And for those young kids on the call, Tom Hopkins, some would say he's the godfather of real estate training. J. Douglas Edwards was the godfather of sales training, and that was Tom Hopkins' mentor. All right, so we're going back before I was even born. Now, Tom Hopkins, when I listened to his audio tapes, and I know the young kids, they don't even know what that is, cassette tape. But anyway, when I listened to his cassette tapes, he had this little package on how to list real estate. And in that were these little easels. Now, if for some of you that have gone to new construction, I've only seen this done once by a builder, where they made these little signs. And I want you to imagine that the signs are, they're not 8.5 by 11, they're maybe 6 by 8 or whatever that size is. And they're made out of like a card stock, okay? And I've seen the builders, they put them in picture frames. You buy the cheap picture frames at Walmart or something, right? And on page 35, it has an example of what these might be. For example, this property's backyard is short fenced by 15 feet to answer the question. There's the fence, but the property line actually is 15 feet from less. And then based on the agreed sales price, the carpet allowance may be considered. I want you to imagine you have new appliances, maybe you have, you know, a little sign that says, you know, new Frigidaire or new gas stove or, wall-to-wall carpet is included. Well, of course, it would be included. But anyway, you put these little signs throughout the house, these little easels, to kind of point out, you know, some of the awesome things about the property. You know, let's say you have central vacuuming in the house. Well, that may not be obvious. Obviously, it will be on the MLS. But imagine you have that little poster in a frame, and it's somewhere in the house. So the hardwood floors, if they were redone, you have that on. Anyway, I would put these throughout the house to make it like a model home. I think that's an awesome idea. Page 36 is a children's listing agreement. I just love this. I'm going to read it to you. Children's listing agreement. I know that my parents have asked John Patrick from Patterson Schwartz to sell a house. I know that Jan and her team are going to work hard to find a family to buy our house, a family that will love our house as much as we do. I will be on Jan's team, too. I'm going to help her team by doing the following: making my beds, picking up the toys, turning on the lights when people come to see it, help mommy and daddy keep our house neat and tidy, and then the little kid signs it. This is, man, this children's listing agreement is so great on so many levels. Now, listen, this little thing that I just gave you here in this magazine, this one thing alone, everybody on this phone call should be doing this, because this is very simple. You can just type it on a Word document, give it a frame, print it out. Now, here's what's great about this. Number one is, if you're on a listing appointment where they have children, and you show the homeowner, you know, if you guys decide to hire me, this is what I do with your child, because number one is making a move sometimes can be traumatic for a child. You know, they can be excited, but sometimes they don't always communicate it. It's a fun thing to do with the kids. It makes it more of an exciting thing. It's like their realtor's assistant. They're going to be like my little assistant. And I've had so many parents say, oh, my gosh, I love this children's listing agreement, because this right here, the parents would say, I would love my kids to make their bed in the morning, pick up their toys all the time. Is there a way we can create a lifetime listing agreement? So it's a great way to break the ice when you're on a listing appointment and you're talking to a FSBO and their defenses are up. You show them, this is if you decide to hire them. It's just so great, man. It's great for the kid too. It makes it selling the house a game, man. Everybody, you got to do page 36. Page 37, oh, another great thing. I got to tell you, I wish that I created this stuff. I'm just showing you what some other agents have shared with me. I put in the mag. This stuff is, I get so excited. I almost want to get back into real estate with some of the things that I gave you this month. Page 37, this is a postcard. So there's a front and back, okay? It's not 8.5, 11, split it in half. So it's an odd-sized card. On the front it says, hey, a special thank you. And it has the picture of the team. It has the company logo on it. On the back of it, it says, hey, thank you for making it possible to view your home today. This is a card that you leave after you show a house. Now, if you show a house that's listed with another agent, or if you show a house that's not listed, which hopefully you don't ever do that, but and then it says, thank you for letting us show your home today. And then there's these boxes that you would check. I was showing the house to qualified buyers. I was showing it to relocation transferee. Great news, this was a second showing. And it has some other boxes that you check. And then you have a place to write comments. And then it ends up by saying, should my customers or client wish to purchase your house, I will contact your real estate agent immediately. So this is a great customer service thing to leave when you're showing another listing. Now, I know some of you, especially my tri-state area folks like New York, Jersey, some of the cities like that or states like that where you might say, hey, Daryl, the listing agent's going to get ticked off if I leave cards, showing cards after I show it. Yeah, it is possible that that'll happen. You have to make a decision, do you want to do that or not based on your market. And, if you think you're going to upset agents, you may choose not to do it. On the other hand, you may say, well, listen, they shouldn't get upset. I'm just communicating with the homeowner and thanking them for the opportunity, and I'm saying I'm going to contact the agents. I don't think it should be a problem. You've got to decide from a marketing standpoint, because like I said, we are marketing to agents too. So you want to be careful that you don't do anything that offends the agents. If I love the idea, so try not to not do it. What I would do is if you're in a market where there's a lot of cynicism and you're afraid that your colleagues would get upset with you doing something like this, maybe change the wording a little bit. Maybe beef up the agent some more where it says, thank you for making it possible to view your home today. You might say, thank you for hiring the agent that you hired because of the great job that they've done for you is why I even showed interest in showing it to my buyers. So maybe do something like that where you will get less pushback, okay? Okay, now, page 38. Listen, gang, this is a recycled Wall Street Journal article that dates back a few years. It's a dated article. But the reason why I gave it to you is because it says in here, first of all, the heading of the article says, dump this house, unloading your property in a slow market. Now, a good part of this article talks about the slow market, but it's going back a few years ago, so it has some old stuff in it. But the part that I want you to highlight, and actually you print this out and then use a yellow highlighter and highlight it and use it in your listing appointment. It shows here's what you need to do if in a slow market to sell your house. And I'll read through it. There's a few things. I just want to point out two. Okay, there's other things that you may decide to highlight. But cutting deeply, despite all this, sellers are loath to cut their asking price, which is the reason prices have barely budged so far, meaning houses not selling. People focus on, there's a quote, people focus on what their home was worth 2 years ago or a few years ago or how much they sunk into it or on their desire to not bring a check to the closing, notes financial advisor Burt Whitehead, author of Why Smart People Do Stupid Things with Money. That's a great title of a book. His advice, he said, ditch these emotional hang-ups and unload your property now. If you really want to sell your house, you have to cut deep, Mr. Whitehead says. Oh, man, that's awesome. Also, there's another thing. It also says in the article, the next bullet says, ask your real estate agent how many so this article, the Wall Street Journal, is giving some great tips that we can use. It's third-party validation of things that we try and tell our sellers. And it actually validates the realtor. It's not pushing us away. It's giving us some credit. So that's a great article on page 38. Oh, there's good stuff in this. Page 39, these are samples of postcards that you may mail to your current sellers. I'm going to just read one of them. Garage sale. Moving time is a great time to clean out the closets. You'll have less to move, and you'll be off to a fresh start in your new home. If you have a garage sale, please call my office and let us know at least 1 week in advance if possible. All those garage sellers will snatch up your special feature home brochure in no time. Whether we opt to remove the box for the day or fill it in with black and white copies, we'll be ready for them. So basically what that postcard is saying, hey, my sellers, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, if you're going to have a garage sale, let me know, because you're going to get a lot of people to the garage sale. And if I have the brochure box, I want to make sure I have enough brochures to help promote our house. It's a great customer service thing, and so that's what that is. Page 40 is an example of just what the utilities cost to run a house. You should have that done on all your listings, because you know one of the questions a buyer has is how much is it to run this house? What are the utilities? So why don't we get that information ahead of time, create a flyer, so that way it removes that question that we have to answer later. And plus, this is another great piece. Now, I've seen some agents, gang, by the way, what they've done is I've actually seen some FSBOs do this. They would do something like, what is that website, eNeighbors or eNeighborhood or something. They would do a whole report about the neighborhood, the school systems, you know, how it ranks, and then they would print it out and staple it. Then they'd also have a list of local churches or other community things. So what they did is they created this on their dining room table, all of these little flyers that buyers can take, and created a packet for buyers to leave with. You know, when you think about it, a builder with new construction, don't they have that? They have a folder and they have all these great little informational flyers about the buildings and about the properties that they're building that people can take with them. So I think on a resale, we should be doing the same thing. By the way, here's another thing you should do. I was really big on this, is that a lot of homeowners, if a homeowner has a nice dining room, or a decent dining room, whatever. They have a dining room, and they have really nice china. They should take that out. They should put that out on the dining room table. You know, I used to tell homeowners, there's two houses. There's the house that we live in, and then there's the house that we get ready for when company comes over. You know, it's like during the holidays, right? Or if there's, you know, companies coming over, that's when we clean that day and we change the bedspreads and we make things look nice and we might even burn candles and we may put out the fine china. Well, when a seller is selling their house, they should have their houses if they're having company over, if they want to sell their house quickly. So, put the fine china out and leave it out until it sells. Okay. Page 41 is how to prepare for a showing in 10 minutes or less. I'm going to read some of these to you. Put the dishes in the dishwasher or quickly wash the dishes, make the beds, wipe the counters, empty the garbage, hide dirty clothes in the washer, take a deep breath, run the quick vacuum, turn on the lights, leave the house before showing, smile, you did it. So it's a great little flyer. Drop your information, your company. You can actually just white out and just or recreate it. Here's what I would do with this flyer, a couple of things. Number one is you obviously give it to your sellers. You know, mail it to your sellers, drop it off to your sellers, tell them to hang this up somewhere. So anytime there's a showing, there's their little checklist of things to do. The other thing you could do with page 41 is actually use it as a mailing piece to FSBOs, and I really love this idea. You know, I don't have a cover letter for it, but what you can do is create a cover letter for a seller saying, I understand you're trying to sell your own home, and hopefully I can be of some service to you. I have a program called the Seller Success System. I'd be more than happy to help to share that with you. It's a system designed to help a homeowner sell their house in today's challenging market. I believe 2012 is going to be a strong year in the first 90 days, as long as homeowners do the right things. If I can ever be of service to you, please let me know. P.S. I've enclosed a little flyer for you on how to, you know, what's the name of the flyer? Let me turn to it again. It's called the How to Prepare for a Showing in 10 Minutes or Less. I hope you find it useful and beneficial. By the way, gang, I just dictated the letter for you, so that should be the cover letter with that page 41. Now, by the way, because I know some of you didn't get the dialogue that I just said, We're going to post this conference call on the website so you can listen to it again later. And just keep in mind, I just did that about 30 minutes into the call, so you can fast forward it, and then you can create your letter, listen to it over and over again. All right, page 42. Page 42 is a Halloween. Now, I forgot where I got. Oh, yes, that's right. Rocco Pizzeria. Now, I don't know where Rocky's Pizzeria is. I was in another state one time and getting a slice of pizza, and I saw this flyer in this pizzeria, and I thought it was a brilliant idea. What he says is, hey, kids, 12 and under, color the Valentine's picture to enter for coloring contest. Contest winners will win a free kids' meal and desserts at Rocky Rococo's prizes, and the parents fill out the entry form and drop it in at the thing. Anyway, so we're going into Valentine's Day now in February. Some of you may want to have some kind of contest that you can promote. Page 43 is the home selling probability checklist. Now, I created this home selling probability checklist, and what it is it basically it slants a homeowner to making sure that they price the property at the price that you want it, because each item that the homeowner does is going to increase the probability of their home selling. And then there's a little key at the bottom. If they scored 0 to 40 points, it's possible but not probable. 41 to 70, it's probable. 71 to 90, most certainly, and up to and 90 to 100, it's absolute. And some of the things that it scores on is your listing, recommended list price, creative financing, yard sign, easy access, higher commission, cleaning the house, no cutter, clutter. Anyway, so when you fill out, if they filled out everything, but they didn't give you the price that you recommended it, the highest points that they would get would be 80, which would most certainly mean that their house will sell, but not absolute. So anyway, that's that for you. Page 44. Oh, my gosh. So I probably should have just not given you so much this month. Okay, now, page 44 is this is a letter that I received in the mail. I don't know why I got it, because it says about, hey, you need to sell your house quick, or like I was in some kind of foreclosure or something, which I wasn't. But when I got this, I guess it was a mass mailing to the neighborhood. Dear homeowner, and this goes back years, this is an old letter that I found. Do you need to sell your home quickly? We can help. We are investors who purchase several houses per month, houses like yours and the neighborhood like yours, blah, blah, blah. What I would do is take this letter and tweak it. So, for example, it would say, do you need to sell your house quickly? We can help. We have investors who purchase several homes per month. The other paragraph, it says, we are not realtors and we're not associated with any real estate firm, so there's no huge commission to pay. Are you behind on payments, relocating, house need repair, blah, 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 we can help you. Da, 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 da. See, how I would change that is say, you know, I am a realtor with a program called the No Commission from Seller program. It's designed for people that are having challenges with the banks. We have relationships with the banks where the homeowner doesn't pay the fee, the bank does, which is what happens in a short sale. So this is a letter that you can use in a short sale situation. Okay. Now, lastly, the last part of the magazine, the Power Agent magazine, and by the way, for those of you called in late, what we're going over is the Power Agent magazine, which is on the powerprogram.com website that you need to log in with your username and password to get access to it. So thepowerprogram.com. Page 46 is the slides that you would show a buyer. Okay, so we've got a couple of buyer slides here. Now is the time to buy. If we look and see, now John Talbert, who is the author of How to Predict the Global Economy Crash. Actually, I'm not going to go through these because I'm looking at the time here, and I want to open up the call. Let me just tell you real quick. In starting on page 46, there are slides that you can use with a buyer. I found more slides that I wanted to share with you this month for buyers than for sellers. And these slides for the buyers are telling buyers why now is the absolute best time that they should buy a house. It talks about interest rates. It quotes other people. It shows the Case-Shiller Index. It even talks about, this one I love, page 49, that there's an investment firm that they committed to buying a real estate group for $250 million. This real estate group, what they do is they buy foreclosed homes. This article talks about how investment firms are actually investing in real estate because they see real estate like, you know, if gold is low, you buy it low and you sell it high. And a lot of investment firms are saying, you know what, real estate is at the lowest that it's ever been. This is a great investment. There's a lot of talk up at Capitol Hill in Congress. There's a white paper. I don't want to get too technical with you, but there's been this memo that's been passed around. The news has picked it up where the talk at Capitol Hill is that, you know what, we're not going to see recovery in the economy until we see a recovery in real estate. And so there is a new commitment for Congress to get behind real estate and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and just try and fix this whole real estate industry. That's another reason why I believe we're going to see a huge surge the first quarter and probably the first half of 2012, and we need to capitalize on it. Now, there are a couple of slides that I gave you to show a seller why they need to price their property to sell, why they need to be aggressive. And, okay, so that's it as far as the magazine. A plethora of great stuff for you that I put together. I'm very excited. So you need to go there, print it out, and start working with that stuff. Okay, now, before I go on to the next thing, we've got 20 minutes left on our call. Does anybody have any questions? Because a lot of you are on vacation mode. I didn't send out an email asking for you to email me questions. Does anybody have something that you want me to talk about for you? So this is a window of opportunity for me to give you some personal one-on-one coaching on something that you need help with. So before I open up the call, I just want you to think, what is it that you've got? Is there something that you want to address for you in your business, your personal, doesn't matter, something you're struggling with, something you're afraid of, something that you know you should be doing but you're not doing and you need a little help on that? What is that thing that you would like me to give you some advice on? So if somebody has something, I'm going to open up the call now and hopefully it's not too noisy, and it's not, which is a lovely thing.
Daryl, I'll bite.
Okay, go ahead. Who is it?
Okay, this is Jeannie Fienick in New Jersey.
Jeannie, yes. Okay, go ahead.
The thing that I really
Jeannie,
am
hang
hoping.
One second.
Hold on. Is
hold
that
on
better?
Here. Hold on.
Let's
one
try
second
now.
No, watch this. Hang on. Is that? Hold on 1 second, Jeannie. Jeannie, do me a favor. So what I did is I muted everybody, but for you, Jeannie, just you, hit *6 on your keypad. Do that right now.
This line is now muted.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, there you are, Jeannie. Good.
All righty.
So now, yes, and now it sounds a lot better. Everybody can hear us, but it's just you and I talking right now.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
So my big hurdle or rock is getting my, you know, the whole lead generation, time blocking, how, you know, committing to doing that each and every day. I'm very good at when calls come to me, I'm just fine if I'm reacting. But it's that proactive, you know, picking up the phone, doing those, you know, cold to warm calls that I just find myself, you know, procrastinating, preparing to be ready and then running out of time. Just nonsense. But that's my challenge. Anything you can do to help me with that, I appreciate.
Yeah, Jeannie. Okay, great question. So let me, I'm going to talk about me losing weight.
Okay.
And because me losing weight and committing to that is the same as I think for you and other agents where you know you should be prospecting, but you just don't ever seem to get to it.
Right.
And that time blocking thing. So I have this great app on my iPhone that I, in the first 2 weeks of the year, and I actually did a video blog about this, it's called MyFitnessPal, and it's on an iPhone. And what you do is you plug in your calories, and then it tells you, first you plug in your weight and what, where you want to be, and then it tells you, here's how many calories you should be eating every day, and if you do that, you're going to lose this weight by this amount of time. Okay, great. So then I did that, and I started filling it out every day, and, you know, in the first week or so, I lost like 5 pounds. Pretty amazing, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Very excited. I stopped doing it now. And the reason why I stopped doing it is because the system was good, but there was no accountability for me to continue doing the system.
Right.
So if let's say, for example, I made a promise, or let's say I put on Facebook, you know what, gang, I promise you I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it every day, and I held, there was some kind of reporting to somebody,
yep,
then I would keep working the system. So the first, so there's two things that I'm going to suggest to you, Jeannie, and everybody else. Number one is you need to pick a certain day and time when you're going to do that, those activities that you need to be doing, i.e. prospecting. And
okay,
I'm assuming, Jeannie, that's the specific thing that you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, Jeannie, first thing you need to do, it's not complicated, is that you need to pick this day and this time, that's your prospecting time, end of story. Jeannie, do you work out at all? Do you go to the gym on a regular basis?
You know, I've just started trying. I broke my foot last year, so I'm just trying to get back into walking, doing something consistent.
Okay, all right. You know, do you know anybody that loves to work out at the gym?
Well, you know what? I've watched my kids who are, absolutely flat-footed, not built at all for running, make a commitment and training for and finishing the Chicago Marathon.
Oh, well,
and now they're
great.
Talking about doing the, trying to hit all the, you know, big marathons in the world. You know, I mean, so.
Yeah, they're really, so the point.
So
is
I'm watching, so I see what, I have evidence in other ways of committing to something and absolutely almost being obsessive or about it. So if I can
when you see your kids and the fact that they got to that point, they probably now always go to the gym or 4 or 5.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, and if they don't go, they feel lethargic, they get upset. Their body has physically gotten addicted in a positive way to that. And we need to do the same thing, but it's prospecting.
Yep.
When I was an agent, I had no problem prospecting. As a matter of fact, I became addicted to it. And if I went a day without prospecting or 2 days, I mean, I didn't prospect every day. There were certain days that I prospected, and which was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Those were my prospecting days.
Okay.
And I had, my hours were 6 to 8. Actually, how I did it is I prospect, and I get an appointment, I leave, and I'd stop making calls because I went on the appointment right then. But
okay.
But I started 6, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and sometimes Wednesday. Now, if I miss Sunday, I would be really upset with myself Monday, especially, Jeannie, when I would do the updated report of all the listings that came out on Monday.
Yep.
I would think to myself, I could have gotten those if maybe I was prospecting Sunday. So I want you to look at, just like your kids go to the gym certain days at certain times,
yep,
I want you to go to the prospecting gym.
Okay.
What are those days that you are going to go to the prospecting gym no matter what? Doesn't matter what else is doing. See, your kids, and when what they did is they didn't try and fit the training into their life. They fit their life into the training.
And that's so true.
And
because, you know, my son was just starting a job working practically, you know, crazy hours every day, but he had to train for this.
Yes,
and
so
he did it.
Same,
if it was running at 11 o'clock at night, he was running at 11 o'clock at night.
Jeannie, there is always going to get something in your way from you prospecting.
Yep.
By the way, everybody, you should be listening to this on the edge of your chair because this applies to you too. This is not just Jeannie. This is some of you, and it may not be specific prospecting, but there's something that you know you should be doing that you know is going to help you break through in 2012 because you didn't do it in 2011, so you know what that looks like. So you know what you need to do, and you're avoiding it. So what I'm telling you, what I'm telling Jeannie applies to you, whatever that is that you're not doing. So Jeannie, the first thing you need to do is you need to fit your business into the commitment of prospecting, not the other way, because you'll never get to prospecting. Something will always, always seem more important then prospecting at that time. You always push it off to later.
Okay.
So number one is pick those days. Number two, and pick those hours. And number two is you need to give that commitment to somebody else who's going to hold you accountable.
Okay.
Now, that sometimes is the toughest thing. It could be another agent. It could be your manager. It could be your broker. It could be your spouse. But you've got to tell people who are going to ask you, your good friends, maybe put it on Facebook. Say, I'm making a commitment to the world. This is what I'm going to do. Start blogging about, not blogging, but giving updates on Facebook if you're into Facebook. You need to have that. You need to not be quiet about this commitment. It is in the verbal expression of you saying, I'm going to do this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. Here's my days. And the more people you tell, the more accountability you're going to have in your life. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Did that help you, Jeannie?
It helped me. Thank you.
You're so welcome. All right. Somebody else, if you have a question that you want to ask me, hit *6, and that will unmute you. So somebody hit *6 if you have a question, and I can answer your question. If not, I'm going to continue. Anybody? Okay.
Hi, Daryl.
Right. Okay. Hey, go ahead. Who is it?
Hey, Daryl, it's Janet Livingston, and I do have a question.
Yes, Janet.
I'd like to know how to get a new listing presentation put together for 2012, because I feel mine is old and outdated, and where would be the best resource for that?
Well, Janet, let me see. I think on the Power Program, let me just check. Welcome, Ammon, blah, blah, blah. Let me just see if I have it on the website for you on the Power Program. Let me just see, letters, Terry's List, Listing Conversation slide. Yeah, first of all, what I have for you, Janet, is after you've logged into the Power Program website, when you click on Classroom, there's a bunch of different things there, and if you go all the way to the bottom, you're going to see something that says Visuals for Sellers, and there's USA Today article, there is 10 Reasons to List During the Holidays, which is still applicable perhaps to the month of January. There's the Listing Conversation slides, and then there's something else that shouldn't be there. So the Listing Conversation slides, that's the listing appointment. That might help you, but let me give you some suggestions right now, okay? First of all, I think that how I put my book together was 4 sections when I was an agent, but I think we should do 5. Let me tell you what the 5 are. The first section should be promoting you, your credibility. This is a very important piece because a lot of agents, they like to avoid that because they feel like it's bragging. But if you're talking to somebody about hiring you, you need to have this piece. By the way, let me say something else. I'm not a fan of the laptop, nor am I a fan of the iPad. Now, if you, and I'll tell you why, and I've seen the iPad. I've had agents take some of my stuff, put it on an iPad. I try to use it. I'm very tech savvy, so I'm not an old fart. I'm very, very tech savvy. But when it comes to a listing appointment, I like it to be less tech savvy and more personal. And that's just my preference. Now, for those of you, and by the way, Janet, I'm talking to everybody now. If you list 3 out of 4 FSBOs that you go after and you're using a computer, then you should keep doing what you're doing and don't listen to me. My style is, and maybe because it's also that I'm from New York, you know, if you go into a New York FSBO, because keep in mind, like a FSBO New York or Jersey or Chicago, you know, the fact that you even got the appointment is kind of a miracle. I shouldn't say it that way, but the fact that you got the appointment, when you go in there, their defenses are still in their cynicism. There's a lot of stuff you got to cut through. And if you boot up a laptop on a FSBO appointment, in my opinion, their defenses get even more stronger because they say, oh, here's the sales pitch. Now, if I go to a referral or a friend or a family or somebody's called me and I'm in New York, well, they've come to me. That's a different scenario. So you have to decide what's best for you. What I like to do is a book, a 3-ring binder book, and just create the visuals, okay? So, Janet, the first section would be promoting you. The second section would be validating your company, the bigness of the company, how long they've been around, market share, stuff like that. The the third section would actually be what I call the State of the Union address in real estate. Now, Janet, this is the section where you would actually talk about what's happening in the economy on a national level, what's happening in real estate national level, but more specifically on a local level. There's a lot of great programs out there or information and data to help agents. Like the slides that I give you each month in the magazine, it talks about stuff on a national level, but we need to talk locally too. You know, real estate's global, but it's also local. And so I would pull out stats from MLS, listing price, the sales price ratio, average time on the market, the saturation rate, anything that talks specifically about your market, Janet, I would do that. Hang on 1 second, Janet. I just want to kind of fix something here. Janet, what's your phone number? What's your area code? Just give me your area code.
404.
404? Okay. Hang on. I'm just, there's a couple other people. I'm just muting them. So, okay, now, so, Janet, what else I want to tell you? Oh, the next section. So you, then your company, then your the State of the Union address, and then the next section would be what you do to market a property, your marketing plan. This is where you talk about brokers, open house, public open house, advertising, lockbox key, all that stuff. So the stuff you do to market a property. And then the last section is just miscellaneous. So the other thing I would say, Janet, is what company are you with, a franchise?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, so the franchise that you're with, which franchise is it?
RE/MAX.
Okay, great. So RE/MAX has some great visuals, and they've got some great stuff that you can download or buy from them. But I do think the best visuals, though, are the ones that you take your own pictures. So, for example, I know RE/MAX has a great page about the RE/MAX yard sign, you know, how visible it is and what it means and da-da-da-da. And there's a lot of – all the franchises have something like that. I still like, Janet, you in front of one of your RE/MAX yard signs, you standing there maybe with your client. So I do believe instead of using anything that's a stock photo from your organization, I think it's better to have the actual real picture and print that out. Did this help you, and do you have any other questions about it?
Oh, no, that's a great help. I'm just trying to update after all these years because I have done this over the years, but I thought maybe, you know, 2012 we should put something else into it that the notes, you know.
Well, I tell you, Janet, the other reason why to do this is, and I want to say something else to everybody, and then I'm going to give everybody a, when I finish with this one statement, I'm going to tell you, here's what you need to do the next 30 days, okay, for everybody, and then we'll end the call. But the, and I'm very excited, so make sure everybody stay on the call because you need to hear what I'm going to tell you after I finish with Janet. Janet, the, first of all, I think it's a good idea that you revamp your listing conversation just because it may make you more excited about the conversation. You know, part of the power of a listing appointment is not only the words you use, but the passion behind the words. You know, if you're a little robotic, I've seen very successful agents go into slumps, and the reason why they went into slumps is because they were almost robotic. You know, they know what to say. They know when to say it. They just forgot how to say it, and the how to say it is the passion behind the words. So I think it's a great idea that you want to reinvent it to get a fresh look and get excited and clean it up. The other thing, too, is don't get too, don't be too committed to perfection because perfection is a place that you don't achieve, it's a way of coming from or a way of being. It's like the thing about black belt in kung fu, or karate. Any black belt will tell you, being a black belt is not something that you. It's an end result, and then you stop working on your craft. A black belt is a way of thinking and being. So you want to always keep improving your listing appointment, knowing it will never be perfect. Okay. So I'm glad that helped you. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, so I'll mute you now, Janet. Let me just say, gang, here's what I think you need to do, especially in the next 30 days. Number one, I as I said at the beginning of this call, I really believe 2012 is going to be a financially abundant year in our industry, and I'm very excited for you, excited for all of us. And I can't say it's going to be true the second half of the year. Definitely the I think most likely the first half, definitely the first quarter. given that that's the case, here's what you need to do, especially the next 60 to 90 days. You need to list your tushy off. You need to build your listing inventory like you've never built it before. Why? Because there's going to be more buyers coming out, more committed buyers, more buyers wanting to buy, and they're going to be buying this stuff from the store that has the most inventory. I've used the analogy before. I'm going to do it again real quick, is that if you were going to sell shoes for a living, you do one of two ways. You get a shoe store, you buy racks, you buy a bunch of shoes, you advertise your shoe store, and people come to your store to buy your shoes. The second option is you find somebody who wants to buy a pair of shoes, stick them in your car, and then you drive them from shoe store to shoe store to shoe store. That is not a good business model. And the agent that has no listings is driving buyers from shoe store to shoe store to shoe store trying to sell other agents' shoes. So what you need to do is you need to build your shoe store. You need to build your shoes, your inventory, and then get the buyers to come to you and sell your own shoes. So number one is you got to commit to that. Now, here's how you do that, is you need to have a good listing appointment put together like Janet was just asking me. Get something that you feel good about, that you're excited to go, but don't wait to start scheduling appointments for you to get good at it. You need to just start getting in the street. You only got 60 days here. This is what I want everybody on this call to think. The first 90 days is going to be good. You have to spend the first 60 days getting your listing inventory, so then that the last 30 days you'll be doing a bunch of open houses and getting buyers to your shoe store. So the next 60 days, you got to start prospecting now. If you don't have a good book put together, then have somebody help you share the listing, somebody who's a good listing agent. You tell them, listen, I'll schedule appointments. We'll go together. We'll share the listing 50-50. You'll service it. I don't care what you do, but, gang, you got to get on the streets. And this is also for you, Jeannie. There's no more getting ready anymore. This is Friday. You know, this before Monday hits, you go on this call, in my opinion, you better pick your days when you're going to go to the prospecting gym, make a promise to somebody when you're going to go, and you need to do that and focus on the next 60 days. While you're doing that, improve your listing appointment. Get organized, put a chart. The other thing you should do is create a listing inventory chart. How many listings you have from month to month. And as you get more listings, you graph it up on the chart. It's going up. It's going to motivate you. It's going to keep you excited. If it's not going to, if you don't get the listings, you see the chart going down. Any of you got zero listings, just get a couple listings in the next 30 days. Do something is better than doing nothing at all. And the last thing is you better have a file system to help you stay focused on prospecting. You know, you can't be just writing it on pieces of paper in a spiral note binder, because what starts to happen is you get more leads, more phone numbers. You start to get confused. Did I call this one before? Didn't I call them? I don't know. Now, the company we recommend is called Red X. If you go, I don't know what their website is, because hang on a second. It might be on the Power Program. Whoa. Yes. Wait. Let me see if it's there. Hang on. The call's supposed to be over right now. It's now 12 o'clock. But just stay in there with me. Is it there? Yes, it is. It's called, if you go to in the classroom, there's a link that says Approved Vendors. And when you go to Approved Vendors, you're going to see some vendors that we recommend, and one of them is the Red X. You should go there, tell them that you're one of my students. You know, go online, call them, and they will give you 30 days for free. If you are a member of Red X already, make sure you're using it, because it's the best system to help you be organized and focused. All right, so that's your plan for the next 30 days. Very excited for you guys. I hope this call was beneficial for you. I love what I gave you this month. There's a lot of great stuff in that magazine. Please utilize it. You don't have to utilize all of it. Just print out one or two pieces. Put your plan together, your prospecting. Have somebody hold you accountable. This year is going to be a breakthrough year, but we have to step up and claim the success that's there for us. There is success out there. Just get your butt out of the office and go grab it, baby, because you need it, your family needs it, and they need your help too, the buyers and sellers. So let's rock. All right, gang. I'll see you on the next call. We'll put it up on thepowerprogram.com when the next date and time of the call is, so make sure you take it. Thank you very much. Have a powerful month. I'll talk to you next month. All right, bye-bye.